Saturday night. It is episode 307 of the PC Progression Wrestling Podcast. I'm Elio, he's Ben. Ben, what's going on? We went back in time earlier this week to 1990.
Yes, and I, even though I did not enjoy watching Survivor Series 1990 by and large, I thought our discussion regarding the show was very, very good. You know, now I may be biased because this show has our name on it, but PNC Progression Wrestling, the main show, will always be my favorite and our baby, because, you know, we are 5.5 years deep on this dumb bitch. You know, I'm particularly fond of this show, and I think we've gotten better and better as time has passed. At least I don't sound like I'm coming to you from the bottom of a fucking well.
Right. Ben, come out of the well, won't you? I can't do this podcast by myself.
incidentally, I did have a well in my backyard. So it kind of fit. But like I said, so this one will always be my favorite. But that being said, I'm really growing to enjoy our Tuesday conversations over on Tuesday Timeline. But for the first time really ever, I had trouble finding stuff to enjoy about the Survivor Series when I was actually watching it. Outside of the Undertaker's debut, but that does not mean that our discussion regarding it's not worth checking out, because I did rather enjoy that aspect of it.
Especially now that we're playing clips to give the backstories.
But yeah, and you know what? I was listening to the show yesterday, and I really do think that adds something to it. I know I was saying that on our last episode, but I was like I said, listening to the show, and I also like the
movie trailer part too, because like it makes you feel like we're back in that time.
Yeah, it really, you know, kind of gets you in the time traveled mood, and it kind of fits well with the theme of what we're trying to accomplish. So I like a lot of different aspects of that show. I have to admit, I have not caught Wrestling POV the last couple weeks, so I gotta catch up with you guys on that one. And this is nothing against you guys. I'm happy for you guys' success and stuff. But I'll tell you what, it is weird being out of the loop on that show, because I'm so used to the whole, Friday, Saturday night routine. Yeah. And it's like, what do I do with myself on Friday nights? I do have to catch up with the last couple episodes of Wrestling POV, but to be honest with you, WrestleMania season has resulted in so much recording that even with it hard, not even being April yet as we're sitting here recording this, we're already almost 25 shows deep into the year, and it's like, holy shit. So maybe it was a blessing in disguise. I don't know, but, I'm very much looking forward to, after the show on Tuesday, we have a week off, which is my longest break since the show started in like 2018. So I'm quite excited.
So, and I should, mention Tuesday Timeline. Tuesday, we will not be here because we will be giving our WrestleMania predictions. The following Tuesday, we will be back with our WrestleMania results. However, the Tuesday after that, we will be back with Royal Rumble 1991. And Ben, we're not going to be going to the movies that on that night.
Because, oh, why is that?
Because Home Alone came out on November 16, 1990, and it was number one at the box office from November 16th to February 4th. Then
Oh.
February 4th, it lost the number one spot.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
So that
So.
we will be back the following for WrestleMania when yeah, for WrestleMania, we will be back to go to the movies.
Very good.
However, tonight we have a short show, actually. We only have the Weekend Wrestling and we have Wrestling Roulette and Dark Side of the Ring because we're going to save all the tournament stuff for after WrestleMania. We already have too much to cover.
I think that's a good idea. And actually, I end each September, but I was thinking because it's been so hectic and we've recorded so much for season five, why don't we start season six of the show after WrestleMania?
The Raw after Mania the following Tuesday.
Yeah.
That works. April 9th, right? April 9th? No, that's the sorry. It's, no, sorry. Yeah, the 9th, because it's Saturday's the 6th and the 7th, and Monday's the 8th.
Yep. All right.
All right, very
So
good.
season six debuts on the progression after Mania. There we go. That'll be the title for
Oh, there we
that
go.
show.
All right, I like it.
So make sure that you guys are fully up to date and you don't want to miss any of the fallout from WrestleMania, because if you think the lead up has been interesting, you don't want to miss our commentary on the aftermath.
I have to ask, did you watch Dark Side of the Ring?
For Brutus Beefcake?
For Terry Gordy.
Oh, that one, yes, I did.
Ben, I'll be right back. I'm just gonna step away for a minute too, because the alarm is going off back there.
How dare it?
I know, right?
Yes, and it's almost as rude as a phone call during one of our shows. But yes, to answer Elio's question, I did watch Terry Gordy episode,
Was
and
actually watching it before we came on. Well, I finished watching it, then I started watching Brutus Beefcake. The Brutus Beefcake story is just, it's, I don't care. I mean, just the way it started was really weird.
well, and I'll probably watch it, but to be honest with you, and
I,
this is
you didn't watch it though, right? Not yet.
no.
Okay, no, I started watching it right after the Terry Gordy one. Just the way it started out, I'm like, okay, just stop.
And to be honest with you folks, I'm just not a fan of Brutus Beefcake. Like, the gimmick just never, I have nothing against the guy. The gimmick just never did anything for me.
I do. Fuck, guys. No show, our show. Fuck off. Next. I
Okay, well, here I am trying to be judicious, and Elio's just like, no, fuck you, move
loud.
on. Elio has a deeper podcasting portfolio than I do.
I'm sorry, it was just unprofessional of him.
Exactly, I think so too. But that being said, let's get into the week in wrestling, shall
All
we?
right, Ben, what do you want to take?
So I figure I'll take Raw and Dynamite, and then if you don't mind.
I'll do an extreme SmackDown, sure.
Very
All right, let's get into Monday Night Raw, Ben.
So yeah, so let's do that. Let me just pull it up really quickly. Here we go. I have several tabs open, so there you go. So once again, this part is becoming old because we've seen this so many times. A major selling point of this past week's edition of Raw was the fact that CM Punk was coming home to his hometown of Chicago. And it's like, We've seen that so many times now that it for me, it's just lost its appeal. But that being said, what he did on the show was actually very, very, engaging and one of my favorite parts of the show. Take away the location, and I still quite enjoy it myself. Match wise, high points and low points. The first high point was, let's see, I'm still scrolling.
Okay, you want me to? Okay, go on.
Sami Zayn versus Bronson Reed. And Jey Uso against Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, match wise, folks, there wasn't much to this show, and I understand why, because they're trying to prevent massive injuries going into WrestleMania. So that I can kind of understand, but understanding that going in, this is the time of year where I start to get impatient, and I just want WrestleMania to get here already, because there comes a point where you can sense that TV is just in a holding pattern. And match-wise, it was very much the case this week across all the shows, and Monday Night Raw was no different. Now, segment-wise, the high points were the CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Drew McIntyre promo, and then of course, The Rock and Cody Rhodes. Now, the Rock and Cody Rhodes stuff was brilliant. Because I have never been a fan of the use of blood without there being a reason for it. If it's just gratuitous for the sake of being gratuitous, I'm like, I could watch a horror movie if I wanted that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
You
I'm not really a
could always log in here into this room and get scared for my by my be scared by my posters.
exactly. So, but when there's a reason for it, when the two really have an issue with each other and it elevates the story, then I'm all for that. And in the case of The Rock and Cody Rhodes, and The Rock smearing the Rock's blood all over the belt that he's going to gift Mama Rhodes, and all of that. That is just brilliant.
I swear,
And
every time I hear Mama Rhodes, I get Deliverance vibes. The one line that comes to mind is, "You boys ain't from around here,
yeah, exactly. So I for all of the drawbacks of The Rock's storyline, and I still stand by this, there are drawbacks, which I've gone over, so I don't feel the need to do that again. But he has produced, like, he has his presence has resulted in renewed interest in the product for WrestleMania season. It has resulted in one of the best WrestleMania seasons in my memory, for the longest time, certainly since the PG era started, and I think we can now safely say that that's over. Thank Christ, because that was 16 years that we can never get back as wrestling fans. So So overall, I would have to give The Rock credit for really adding to WrestleMania season. And even though I stand by every negative point that I said about The Rock's involvement, I think the end product stands for itself. And the other aspect of this too is I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Cody Rhodes wins at WrestleMania. Some people might disagree with me, and I'm not saying that it's my official prediction that Roman Reigns wins. We'll talk about that more on Tuesday for our WrestleMania 40 prediction show. Make sure you tune in for that. But I don't think it's as cut and dry as some people may think, because if they wanted to, they could draw this out even longer. Depending
Well,
on the Rock's play.
Paul Heyman already said there are so many more chapters to the Bloodline story.
Well, and see, but that's the other aspect of why I'm saying what I'm saying. So it's not really a foregone conclusion that Cody finishes his story at WrestleMania 40. And I think the fact that it's not a foregone conclusion, whereas for so long I thought that it was, that's a benefit to WrestleMania 40 and the lead up to it. So those are my high points and low points for Raw. Elio, what did you have?
I didn't really have any low points. This Raw was just a fun show from beginning to end for me.
Yes, I 100% agree in terms of it being a very entertaining show from top to bottom. It was very refreshing
I'm sorry.
as
I was just thinking of something while you were talking.
yeah.
Because I'm already booking WrestleMania 41.
Oh, Lord. A year plus ahead of time. Go ahead.
See, we already said, hold on, let me see something here. Like we already said everyone was wanting The Rock versus Roman Reigns, okay? But I'm gonna do what they were doing for WrestleMania 27, 28, which was garbage. WrestleMania 27 was garbage, but hear
Thank
me out.
you. Thank you. I agree.
So we already said Roman Reigns could. What if Roman Reigns wins? But even though we all know that Cody has finished his story. So next night we have all the Bloodline all in the ring, and they're all coming together, they're all looking at Roman because he lost the belt. So they're all asking him what he's gonna do about it to get the belt back.
Yeah.
Then let the story play out throughout the rest of the year. And as time goes by, we see tension growing be within the Bloodline,
Yeah.
and The Rock growing impatient with Roman Reigns, which leads to 2025, WrestleMania 41, The Rock versus Roman Reigns.
I like that. I do. Do I think that that necessarily happens? I'm not sure. I think there's a lot that still
It
has to
happens in
be.
my mind.
And would that be entertaining? Yes. Does a lot of that depend on The Rock's availability? After this WrestleMania? Yeah.
Oh
But
damn, could we see a Roman Reigns beat down? Oh, that would be crazy if that would happen.
Well, to me, that would be perhaps the most interesting thing that they could do.
Right?
So we got a lot of We got a
No,
lot of
fuck,
unanswered questions
fuck,
going
fuck,
into
fuck that
WrestleMania
Roman,
40.
fuck that Roman Reigns. You have to face the final boss. You didn't get the job done. Now you have to face the final boss.
Exactly. And I said, the fact that The Rock was calling himself the final boss, I said a couple of weeks ago that that could be the jump-off point
Now hold on. Did
for.
you see the Samoa Joe T-shirt, the new that they just released?
It was so lame.
Come on, the main event, the final boss. Just
Oh
stop.
my God. Tony Khan,
I know, right? Gee.
get a hold of yourself, okay? You're just, first of all, and this might sound petty, but can the guy get a haircut? Please. He looks like a fucking chia pet.
Tony Khan's chia pet hair. You should go in the book.
It's just, Jesus Christ.
Oh my
Can you look the slightest bit professional?
God. Seriously.
I don't know. But nonetheless.
But yeah, that was just my thinking while you were talking. I just came to mind. It's like, what if?
Well, no, and everything you said is perfectly legitimate, and I would be down to see it 100%. We're gonna shift it back over to Elio for his take on NXT, which gleefully I did not see.
We can get an XD and before we go into commercial, let me just pull up my notes here. So for NXT, okay, high points I gave to Dijak and Sean Spears, even though I find it weird that Sean Spears took the pinfall in this one and Dijak won. But it was funny because we once again got a Joe Gacy sighting. He slid out from under the ring and grabbed the chair that was sitting at ringside near the steps.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Another one, the Stacks and Dragunov match wasn't bad. The Wolf Dogs and Alpha Academy match was not bad. The way they're building this, Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams has like the greatest match to take place then deliver? No. It's like, I mean, the video
Absolutely
production,
not.
was the video production good? Okay, the video production was fine, the way they did the video package. But am I looking forward to this match? Not really, because
No, I'm not either.
but the low
They
points,
drew it out too long.
you know what? What wasn't a high point or a low point, but I put in the middle was Lola Vice and Natalya. It wasn't high or low.
Elio, help
What?
me.
It's Lola Vice. Stop
Well,
it.
but why is Natalia
Yeah,
facing Lola Vice?
I get it. Yeah. Well, I mean, Lola Vice put out an open challenge and Natalya answers it. Makes no sense.
But
Because it's stupid. I don't know why her of all people.
I mean, well, advice is on Team Yummy, so I'm not gonna go too hard on it, but God damn.
But for low points, here we go. What the fuck's her name? Jasmine Nix versus Thea Hale. What? Improv.
You're like, what
Oh, because I had to double
the fuck
check
is
what I wrote here, because the line was crossing over the name. Okay, that Ridge Holland's promo was stupid. Can we just stop already?
Yeah, because
I'm gonna step away from in-ring action for the time being. And quotes for my mental health.
yeah, that's a storyline right
Can
there. You
we stop?
please.
Jeez. I like to think I'm a family man, I'm a friend. And stop!
Oh my
It's
God.
enough. And the next one is Stu Hudson and Josh Briggs. This is another low point.
Okay.
So that's all I've got. Do we have time for AEW? We got 6 minutes on the clock.
Yeah, I think we do. Let me
Alrighty.
pull it up.
I'm gonna say it wasn't the worst show this week.
No, it actually wasn't. There was quite a bit that I enjoyed, actually. First high point was Osprey and Shibata. This was like a this was a kind of a teaser for Osprey and Danielson.
Cause,
And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
cause, cause Hiroshi Shibata's been around forever. That guy was around in the Antonio Inoki days and the early wrestling world, which was a precursor to Wrestle Kingdom.
And I have just now started to understand that because of our coverage of the New Japan shows.
Oh, that's what I'm gonna do when we come back and give an update on like some New Japan dates and like results that I'm gonna look up during the break.
Exactly. So that's awesome. And then the next high point I had was believe it or not, Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy versus Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. I thought that was a very strong match. I'm not sure what this means for for Undisputed Kingdom, and I'm not sure where Wardlow was, but as a match, I was quite impressed. And then the last high point I had was Takeshita versus Swerve. More of that, please. That was just tremendous. And then low points, the women's match, Fatal Four Way. I don't understand. And why do they have Mercedes Moné on commentary? And is it just me? I'm already getting tired of the CEO gimmick. It's not, I understand
And
you.
it's not piped in crowd noise. That's her theme song at the beginning.
Yeah, it's just, oh my God, it's not good. And then the last low point was the Young Bucks versus Private Party. Mostly because I just don't really get why they had this match, because they were trying to like put it out there as like this massive grudge match, but really that there hasn't been any interaction between the two teams in like 4.5 years. Like they were a thing at the beginning of AEW, and then Private Party fell off the face of the earth. I don't know where they've been, but it was just kind of random. But that's what I have for our highs and lows for them.
So I've got the same as you, and I'm gonna add another one. Bring Chris Jericho calling Hook a future world champion,
Again.
and saying that anytime Hook needs advice, he'd be glad to like give him advice. So are they trying to say that Chris Jer they're gonna transition Chris Jericho to be a manager for Hook?
I
Because
don't
that
know.
would be terrible.
I don't know. And like, I have no interest in being like very, very hard on a very young kid, because to me, Nick Wayne and Hook are in like the same, category, right?
The problem with Hook
But
is he's getting the wrong training.
it's bad. And it's not like he's a bad performer. It's just he's not improving, in my opinion.
Because he's not being trained properly.
Well, and that argument can be made as well. A very strong argument can be made, I think. But that's all I had. Should we
Yeah, we can go into break and come back with SmackDown, and I'll look for the New Japan stuff during the commercial.
Okay, very good.
All right, we are back, and we are going to. That's all we have for AEW, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to get into WWE SmackDown. Ben, what do you have for SmackDown?
Okay. So this was a little bit different than what we've been getting the last couple of weeks, but in a way it was good. It gave talent that hadn't been really featured heavily or even at all on the show recently, because of the big stuff with Cody, The Rock, and all that. So from that perspective, I kind of liked it. But I had to be honest with you, there wasn't really a lot to grab onto in terms of the wrestling or like progression. And when I use progression, I'm not just trying to use that word because it's in the title of the podcast. When I say progression, I mean like, okay, why is this happening here? Like for instance, the Pretty Deadly match with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens was like, what in the fuck is this?
Yeah, but that was the WrestleMania moment. Yes, boy.
No.
Yes, boy.
And if you say that again, I'm signing off from the podcast.
Elio,
Well, absolutely.
you're muted.
So there just wasn't a lot for me to care about in this thing. But if I had to give a high point, I would give it to I would give it to Legato and Tyler Bate and oh what the hell
Done,
was this?
Pete done.
Yes, I'm blanking. I'm sorry. Because the new Catch Republic is just it's not clicking with me.
I hate that name. Can
Yeah.
we call him something else?
it's better than the no quarter cash crew, but still. And then okay, so well, I want to get your opinion on something because we got the confirmation of a tag team match with Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Dominic, and I'm assuming it's going to be Finn joining him for the tag
No,
team.
it's Dominic and Santos Escobar.
Oh, Dominic and Santos. Okay. Oh yeah, duh. Okay. I don't know why I said that, but nonetheless. Do you like that singles match, or would you rather have another?
Singles and tag team match.
Yes, do you like the tag match for Mania, or would you rather have another singles with Ray and Dom?
I like the tag match. I'm happy with the tag match.
Because for me, like I'd rather have the singles match again with Ray and Dom. Now I know it would be a repeat, but and I get there's a connection between Ray and Dragon Lee, but to bring Dragon Lee into LWO like a week ahead of WrestleMania just to put him in this thing when he's had nothing to do with the whole feud whatsoever. Outside of the one match he had with Dom for the North American title, it's just a little weak.
Okay.
So I would prefer like a no bullshit match between father and son. Like none of the spankings, none of the other things that we saw last year. And last year was good, don't get me wrong. But I just want a serious confrontation between the two of them. And I'm not sure we're gonna get that with with these two. I understand it, and I'm not saying it's bad because I'm a huge fan of Santos and Dragon Lee. So don't misconstrue what I'm saying here. I'm just.
I'm still wondering. Did you see Judgment Day backstage after that segment? They were trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah. And so, but that added to my confusion because it looked like after that segment that they're leaning toward Judgment Day breaking up. And it's like part of that
Why would Judgment Day break up?
because one, they're having so many issues with communication, and two, because it seems to me like Rhea Ripley's headed toward a babyface arm.
Yeah, it's true. Everyone loves Rhea Ripley.
So, and to be honest with you,
Uh-oh. We need a divorce between Mommy and Dominic.
well, if that means that all the simps can get the fuck off social media with Rhea Ripley, I'll be happy with that because
Fuck you, wrestling fans.
it's disgusting. And I like Rhea Ripley just as much as the next guy, but I guess I just know
Oh my God, sorry.
how to talk to and think about a woman. I
Oh my God.
don't
Oh my
know.
God. Okay, go on, because I'm sure you're gonna bring this up, because I got something to say. Go ahead.
Regarding what?
No, I'm sure you have more high points, some points. Go on.
Oh, what? Yes, of course. And then my other low point was the AJ Styles LA Knight thing. That was just weird.
AJ Styles is weird. This AJ Styles.
Yeah,
I'm not
I
sure what
don't
they're doing with
know.
him.
Is that what you were gonna say? Because I
No. It's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying I don't know what they're doing with AJ Styles though.
And then even the Jade Cargill thing,
What about it?
it is weird to me because, I think the matchup is awesome, but you're just featuring her a week before WrestleMania.
I like it. And
I like the match, but I'm not sure I like the presentation of it.
no, I like her debut. And this is where I was gonna say something. Because people were talking about her debut, and fuck you, wrestling fans, because you don't know shit. You just talk out of your ass without doing any fucking research. Listen to
Oh, God.
podcasts and stop talking out of both sides of your ass. All right.
Oh, good Lord. Here we go.
So I read a comment that said, "Well, Jade Cargo did terrible at the Royal Rumble. That's why she was kept off of TV up until now."
Oh, fuck you.
No, you
Not
dumb fuck.
you,
No,
Elio,
you dumb
the person.
fucks. This is why she was kept off TV, because WWE is not stupid enough to put her out there unprepared, like the way AEW did, where they just threw her out there and said, "Go wrestle."
Yeah.
Okay? And that's why we have a different Jade Cargill as opposed to the AEW version. So shut up and do your research. Stop talking out of both sides of your ass.
Listen to the professor when he speaks. This man knows what the fuck he's talking about, you fucking bitches.
Class dismissed, you dumb fucks.
Can we sound clip
Oh, damn, you know what? I should do that.
that, please? That might be one of my favorite moments in the history of podcast. That's us. Class dismissed, you dumb fucks. I love it. Very good. So, we've got some more matches confirmed for WrestleMania, and that was good.
And how many matches do we have all together?
Oh God,
I no, I counted
let me see
12.
if I can, let me, because I think I have an updated card.
Okay, because I counted
It
12,
didn't.
and I'll tell you why I'm asking.
Hold on, let me find it. The fuck is it?
Because look at your screen. Are you looking at your screen?
No, hang on 1 second.
That's what I have. I have 12 fun matches.
All right, let me look. Hold on.
Damn, that looks nice. Holy crap, I did a great job.
Yeah,
Well,
I'm sure.
Barry Ho with a proof pat on the back.
Indeed, right? So, hold on. Okay, here we go. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 so far.
12, okay, very good. Then we have the Andrade Giant Battle Royal on the SmackDown.
Why? Oh my God,
And I
why?
have a list of the participants for that match too.
Who gives a
Oh,
fuck?
no,
Go ahead.
I'm saying I have a list. I'm not in front of me. I'm just saying I found a list of all the participants though. Like, who cares about that?
Oh, good. So you don't have to name them.
No, I don't
I
have to
just
name them.
Don't really give a fuck. Yeah.
Right? No one cares. We don't care.
Yeah.
Okay, is that all we have for SmackDown?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So that does it for the weekend wrestling then.
Yeah.
All right. So Ben, oh, now during commercial, I was looking up New Japan. So New Japan is done. Okay, we are tonight. We is the first night for the Road to Sakura Genesis, okay? This is why we do not cover these shows, because the first night, which is tonight, is made up entirely of tag team matches, which I'm not gonna go through. Now it runs from March 30th to April 5th, so tomorrow's card. It's going to be the main event will be for the Kings of Pro Wrestling Professional Championship with Great Okan defending against Tangaloa.
Well, that had to be a good one.
Then on April the 3rd, we will have the main event will be a tag match, so like LIJ against Bushi and Yuzushi, Hiromu Takahashi and Tetsuya Naito will be in against Bushi and Yuzushi. And then April 4th is the last one because there's no April 5th card here. So, and that one is going to be entirely made up of tag matches. 8 man, 6 man, and 10 man.
Oh, jeez.
So, and the next event after that will be the April 12th Windy City Riot.
And that one we are covering in its
And
entirety.
I do have the lineup for that.
Oh, cool.
Well, I believe I do. The first two matches will be for the Strong Openweight Tag Team Championship Open Challenge. It's gonna be a four-way match, so we don't really know the teams in this one. The second one will be Nick Namath and Tomohiro Then we have Yota Tsuji, no, sorry, Shota Umino versus Jack Perry. Then we have a Riot Rules tag team match. Again, for this one, we don't know the participants. We only know Eddie Kingston and Gabe Kidd. Then we have Mustafa Ali and Hiromu Takahashi. And the main event will be Jon Moxley versus Tetsuya Naito.
That's gonna be a good fucking main event.
All right, so that is it for New Japan. Ben, Dark Side of the Ring.
Yes, Dark Side of the Ring. That is our next segment before we wrap it up with Wrestling Roulette. Let me pull up the review here.
I started watching wrestling when I was 10 years old. So when I was 12, I bought my first wrestling magazine. It was Inside Wrestling. It had Dusty Rhodes, Sgt. Slaughter, and Hulk Hogan on the cover. And from there, I started my collection of like black and white magazines. However, at the time, I didn't really think anything of it. They were just wrestling magazines to me. But looking back, like as years went on by, looking back at them, I was looking at the names in all the different territories. One of the names was Terry Gordy. I had always heard about the Fabulous Freebirds, but I had never seen them and seen them until years later.
Right.
So we had Buddy Roberts, Michael P.S. Hayes, and Terry Bam Bam Gordy. This guy, when I was watching Dark Side of the Ring, this was a sad episode.
Well, most of them are,
But I'm saying like this one like was like
but
really sad.
I think next to the Jake Roberts one, this one got me the most. Because the reason why is because this wasn't the case of a bad guy doing bad things who happened to be a wrestler. This was a guy who was apparently very good to people, very well respected, who just happened to be his own worst enemy, primarily because he fell into wrestling's vices. Primarily with painkillers and drugs and things of that nature, which for me, that's when it becomes the saddest. And hearing about him, not only overdosing once, not twice, but three times at least that they talked about on this episode, that was like, oh my God. And the one that didn't kill him that should have, they were talking about, how he was on the plane because he would take somas to go to Japan, and then wake up when he got there, and then
I was here to help him sleep.
right. So he would take them to he would take them to be able to sleep on the flight, and then wake up and do what he had to do, but unfortunately, he overdosed, and I forget who was next to him, but one of his friends had told this gentleman before, if you slap him a couple times, he'll wake up. So he did that, and it wasn't working. So luckily, they were able to, get him to the hospital once they landed a half an hour later. They were really playing Russian roulette with that, with him overdosing in the air and not being able to get to him, in terms of the hospital for at least a half an hour. So he really got lucky that, that he even woke up at all. But as a result of that second overdose, he suffered permanent brain damage at the age of 32. That's when it became like the really sad story, because prior to this, they were talking about his run with the Fabulous Freebirds and what a naturally gifted athlete he was, and how he was really made to be a professional wrestler, even having his first match at 14. And how this is all he ever wanted to do, all he was ever qualified to do, because he didn't have any schooling, having dropped out of classes at the ninth grade level to become a wrestler. They said as a result of the overdose, all of the stuff that made Terry special as a performer, the emotions and the promos and all of that, he lost the ability to do that. He got this, deer in the headlights look in his eyes, and you could see it, that he really did. The lights went out upstairs.
And this fits in perfectly with the Tuesday timeline because he's going to show up in the 90s, namely 1996. He made his debut at the Inger House Buried Alive pay-per-view alongside Mankind, where he attacked the Undertaker and they threw Undertaker into the dirt, into the ground to win the match.
Yes, and they actually talk about that, because that was he was brought in as the executioner to WWF as a favor to Michael Hayes.
Michael Hayes, okay.
Yes, because
No,
because.
I was gonna say Mick Foley, okay, but yeah, okay.
No, it was because Michael Hayes was
Okay, it's
working
Mike.
for WWF at the time.
Right, Dark Hendricks. Terrible.
Right. And so they put him under a mask as the executioner, and even his daughter was saying, that might seem like an insult, but to be honest with you, I thought it was a blessing in disguise, because they didn't want to put my dad out there.
And at the time, I didn't know. I thought the same thing. I thought like that this was just some ridiculous no-name character that they brought in that we were never going to see again. Like I didn't know it was Terry Gordy under the mask.
Well, but having seen the episode. And look, the Fabulous Freebirds were well before my time.
And mine
Now,
as well.
granted, I know a little bit about them, being having studied my wrestling history and things like that. But to be honest with you, if I called myself an expert on Terry Gordy, I'd be straight up lying to you. I would, and I'm not gonna do that. But my point in this instance being, it's surprising that more people didn't say, "Oh, well, we already know that's Terry Gordy under the mask because of the eyes." Those ice blue eyes with a faraway stare in them, they're so distinct, after his accident, that I'm surprised that nobody. Or at least not more people picked up on the fact that it was Terry Gordy portraying the executioner. But
And
even.
I just remember the debut at Buried Alive because watching Monday Night Raw back now from I'm in 1996. There's a lot of things I don't remember about 96.
Yeah. And but the thing is, right? So then they were talking about, and this wasn't only with the WWF stuff, but they were talking about, how he could still, even after his accident, after he, got back in the ring with his nephew and was training, he could still do the moves, but the stuff that made him, remarkable as a wrestler was gone. It was just him going through the motions and stuff like that. But it was really sad when they showed clips of him having a match with The Undertaker. I'm assuming it was in the aftermath of him making the appearance in a
Yes.
Buried Alive match.
Yep.
But they said, even The Undertaker said, yeah, this isn't gonna work, because he can't, he can't do this at the level that it needs to be done in order for it to work. It wasn't an insult to Terry. It's just people could see that it was so obvious after his accident that there was like very little there left of him that made him Terry in the first place. Which, to me, that's a fate worse than dying. I mean, to lose who you are, but to still be alive, to me, that's worse than dying. And that's what I got from this episode. Because everybody talked about how full of life and what a great human being he was. Yes, he partied hard and had the hard Southern wrestler lifestyle, but he wasn't a bad guy. He wasn't out to hurt people. He wasn't, he wasn't, some of the ne'er-do-wells that we see on this series in the past. It was just the case of, after his accident, it was just so apparent that he was gone.
I'm looking at him now. He made his debut in 1974. He was trained by Lou Thesz and Archie Goldie.
Well, I did not know about Archie Goldie. I don't even know who that is, but I did know about.
Oh, Archie Goldie is the Mongolian Stomper. He was a big name in Calgary Stampede.
Oh, is it okay? Well, the Mongolian Stomper, I've heard that name because
That's Archie Goldie.
I was recently watching Bret Hart's edition of
That's him.
WWE Legends,
Yep.
and I heard that name mentioned
That's him.
as being in a feud with Stu Hart. Okay. It's interesting how it all comes around.
All right.
That's
It's
kind
like
of funny.
everything's all connected. What's going on?
Yeah, it really is. So this one was tough for
Yeah.
me, emotionally to get through. And look, I'm not gonna say I was crying and doing all of that, because I'm not a crier. But it's hard for things to get to me to a degree. I'm kind of a very even keel guy emotionally, outside of a couple things, but it's just like Jesus Christ, because I mean, just like anybody else, I've lost people close to me, but I've never, but to that degree of having to, like, watch them be alive, but them being gone well beforehand, I don't know if I can relate to that. So that was the part that was getting me. And the most emotional aspect of the episode, the most emotional clip, was when Jim Cornette was talking, because he was like, well, if he's anywhere close to where he has to be, or to where he was, we should get him in here to Smoky Mountain, help him out, and have them be around friends, and they all love him here. Let's help him out. So they brought him in, and it was just as I've been saying, it was very clear that he just couldn't do what he was once capable of. That's
Exactly.
that was the pervasive theme post-accident.
He was a one-time Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion.
Okay. And he recounted an incident where, Terry like just snuck up on him and was like, "Jim, would you like me to do the power bomb?" And I'm not
I
making.
remember that part, yes.
And please don't misunderstand, folks. I'm not making fun of him in any regard, but
That's the way he sounded after his accident.
yes. That really got to Jim because it's like, Jesus Christ, he's really not here to the degree that, and that, like I said, that was the theme of the show. And it's just, I guess drug overdoses can happen in any situation, and we hear about that all the time, especially in wrestling. I'm not sure if I've ever heard of one quite like the ones with Terry Gordy, because yes, he did eventually die, but it wasn't because of a drug overdose. It was because of a heart problem. But he might as well have been dead after the drug overdose, because he was just so permanently altered. And to me, that was the most striking aspect of that episode. What did you take out of that episode as you were watching it?
Oh, I learned a lot about things I didn't know. Like I knew the Freebirds were all about partying and stuff, but I never knew the part about like the airplane trip to Japan and just like the kind of person that he was outside of the ring with like helping everyone.
Well, and that part was refreshing to
Yeah.
hear.
Because
So,
usually you hear about these guys outside the ring, a lot of them aren't the way they portray themselves on television, like when they're heels or faces. Is
yeah.
it it's like the heels outside the ring, the heels are some of the nicest guys and the faces are some of the worst people.
Yeah,
But
I
like
mean,
Terry Gordy was neither. He was just a good person is what I got out of it.
And it's always more, it's like a cliche, but it's always terrible when bad things happen to good people. But what happened to Terry Gordy was one of the most unfair things I can think of. Because I can tell you, I'd rather be dead than to lose my memory, lose my ability to communicate with people the way I would want to. And they showed this one clip which really pissed me off, of an interview that he did in 1980 or 1998. It was a shoot interview from a series I've watched before. And the interviewer is trying to ask him questions. I don't think the interviewer was trying to be an asshole, but he should have realized that this wasn't going to work, and he should have just cut the interview, because it got to the point where he was apologizing talking about Terry Gordy because he couldn't answer any questions because he couldn't remember, and he was apologizing for the overdose and apologizing to his fans. It was just like, can we cut this shit? Like, well, why are we doing this to this poor bastard? But it was refreshing that unlike a lot of his counterparts that get featured in the series, that at least Terry Gordy was a decent human being. And I think that's what made it harder to hear about the drug overdoses and all the stuff that happened afterwards. So if you haven't seen that one yet, aside from all the personal stuff, which we
And
just
then we're gonna cut.
yeah. So we'll be right back. We'll wrap that up and stay there.
All right, we're back and we're gonna wrap up Dark Side of the Ring. Ben, this was another one that I really enjoyed.
Yes, and to wrap up my thoughts, because I'm ran a little bit long, so we had to jump off real quick. In addition to the external stuff, which we talk about a little too much, I would highly recommend this one if you're unfamiliar with Terry Gordy and his contributions to modern wrestling, because what I took out of this is that he really is a severely underappreciated big man. Legend gets thrown around a lot, and I don't know enough about his career to call him that, but from what I've seen and from what I heard Mick Foley, Jim Cornette say, I'd be pretty comfortable putting him in that category. So I guess, make your own determination after watching it, but this is definitely one that I would recommend.
Now, next episode of Dark Side of the Ring, we're not gonna cover. Like, I know, I said all that stuff about Bruce Buffer, but I just don't care about his Dark Side of the Ring episode.
No, I don't either. And that one is that one aired already, and I don't
I
care.
started watching. I'll tell you what. I started watching it. Pretty much it talks about his relationship with Hogan, his childhood friend, whatever, and how his wife met him. Apparently she showed up at a wrestling show, said, "I want to sleep with Bruce Beefcake for one night." And that's how it all started. I'm like, okay, just stop.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. I don't care.
Fucking weird.
I don't
Whatever.
care.
I don't either.
What I do care about is wrestling roulette.
Exactly.
So, Ben, we're going to get into the final segment.
Absolutely.
I will just pull the playlist up. Give me a second here. All right, wrestling roulette. Way it works, I play 21 tracks, and Ben has to guess which wrestler that theme belongs to, and we have the obstacles. So if a wrestler's track shows up more than once in the rotation, it is -1 point. Ben, are you ready for your first one?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Is that Steve Blackman?
No, it's not. That is Ken Shamrock.
Oh, I was close though. Okay.
All right, number two.
Bam, bam.
No, that is not the Bam Bam we were just talking about in Bam Bam Terry Gordy, but that is Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yes, Bam Bam Bigelow. That's just a face theme. That sounds weird for him.
Exactly.
I don't know, I can't picture him coming out to that theme. It's weird. All right, number three, here we go.
Pass.
That is Tatum Paxley.
Yeah, I would have never got that.
All right, number four.
And still, though, it's all about me.
that Emma?
No, it's not. It's Tennille Dashwood.
Oh, wait, still this fucking thing. Oh, God. See what I
God.
have to deal with on this show, people?
Okay, 4-2. All right, here we go, number 5. You ready?
Yeah. Balls Mahoney.
Yes. What? How? How? Right, number 6. Are you ready?
Yeah. Pass.
That is the Nasty Boys.
Oh, fuck.
All right,
Oh,
number 7.
jeez.
Here we go.
No! No. That is awful. Pretty deadly.
Pretty deadly. That's number 6 or number 7. What did I say?
Said seven.
7. Okay. Sorry. Okay. All right. Number 8. Here we go.
Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed. All right, number 9.
Yo, pop a 40 and check your rollies. It's crime time.
Rest in peace, Shad Gaspar. Crime time.
Crime time.
Johnny Gargano.
Yes. All right, number 11.
Christian.
What?
Yeah.
How?
Because I know that countdown, and I know that the band that does that, and it's one of my favorites.
Well, I'm sure Evanescence is awesome.
Yeah, and by the way, hi Amy Lee, I will always have a crush on you.
Yeah, all
I'm just
right.
kidding. I've been
Are you done?
saying. Sure.
Go. Number 12.
Pass. I have no idea.
That is Shaniqua.
Oh my God.
And Ben's like, you know what? I'm proud of myself.
Yes, because her dominatrix gear used to scare the shit out of
Yeah.
me.
All right, number 13. Here we go.
NWO Wolfpack.
Yes, send you a Wolfpack. All right, number 14. No, you know what? I'm not gonna do that. That's the double or nothing theme.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear?
DX.
DX. All right, number 15.
Are you
Oh. Twice in a row. How did that? That's, I don't think that's ever happened. The same song twice in a row.
No, that's never happened.
Wow, okay. Back down to nine. Okay, number 16. Here we go.
I object.
Pass.
That's fucking terrible. That's Luca Crucifino.
Since when did he play Judge Mills Lane? God damn, get the fuck out of here, people.
That's his entrance theme.
Good God.
What?
That's awful.
That is terrible. When I first heard that, I'm like, what? All right, number 17, here we go.
Pass.
That is Mercedes Moné.
I would have never gotten anything out of that the way it started. But not with the way it started.
Yeah, I know it's so weird with them. Then you go CEO, CEO. 18, are you ready?
Yeah. Lovely boys.
Dudley boys. All right, you're back up to 10, number 19.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, gold, Steve Austin. All right, number 20.
Alberto Del Rio.
No, it's not. It's Alberto Patron. I'm joking. Go on. All right, last one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I saw that.
Good.
All right, here's the last one.
Seth Rollins.
Was that?
Seth Rollins.
No, it's not. That is King Corbin.
Oh, that is such poor shit.
Why? It's his theme, just King of the Ring version.
No, I know. It's just I don't like it.
Oh, okay. All right, so that is 21 tracks. Your final score is 12. You want Ben? You want to see what the next one would have been?
Sure.
Here we go, number 22.
The Glamazon Beth Phoenix.
Yes, Beth Phoenix. All right, that does it for Wrestling Roulette. Ben, we see you bringing the show to a close.
Absolutely, man.
All right, so that is it, episode 307 of the PC Progression Wrestling Podcast. We will be back on Tuesday with your WrestleMania 40 predictions. So we're not doing anything but WrestleMania this week and next week as well.
Yeah.
So the following week, we'll be back with your WrestleMania 40 results. And then Tuesday's timeline returns the week after with Royal Rumble 1991. So,
Looking forward
Ben,
to it.
so for my host Ben, I'm Elio. Ben, say goodnight to the fans.
Thanks for hanging out with us and make sure you don't miss the final push to WrestleMania. I've enjoyed the hell out of this season, but I don't know about you, Elio. I need a break after all this is done. I don't
Yes.
think we've ever recorded so much in this short a time frame to start the year, so you know, it's been fun, but I'm looking forward to a break. But
yes,
before we do that, WrestleMania 40 is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Hope you are as well, right here on the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast. We'll see you next time.
While the sick get sicker, the profits from the people feed the poor another needle. The flames get bigger while the moths all shiver. The subsidizing evil with no budget for a sequel. The Prozac's gift wrapped with a smile.